Former President Donald Trump participated in a town hall event on CNN last week as he's running for the office again in the 2024 election. The television network received widespread criticism for how the program was handled, with CNN correspondent Caitlin Collins trying to moderate in front of a vocal, largely pro-Trump crowd. The event produced strong ratings for CNN, but it stirred up questions of how journalists and the media should cover Trump and his latest presidential campaign. He's the current Republican frontrunner and can't be ignored, but he often repeats lies and repeats misinformation. He's been indicted on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. The list goes on. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch CNN's town hall event with Trump? What did you think about it? Do you think CNN could have, should have handled it differently? If so, how? How do you think the media should cover Trump in general and the candidates, the open field for president in general, too? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tom Nichols is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where he's lead writer for their flagship newsletter called The Daily. He's the author of several books, including Our Own Worst Enemy, The Assault from Within on Modern Democracy. And in last night's episode of the hit HBO show Succession, he played the role of a conservative political commentator on a fictional news network that was covering a presidential election controversy in Wisconsin. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
In a recent piece you wrote, you have no problem with CNN or anyone covering Trump. You think they should do that. Your problem, though, I think, was with how this town hall format worked. What did you see going wrong there?
Well, from beginning to end, first having a crowd that was clapping and cheering, who was obviously there to treat it like a rally, having a reporter who just was overmatched by Trump. He just swatted her out of the way repeatedly. The whole format was designed to make look Trump like a normal politician, which he most certainly is not. And instead of sitting him down one-on-one and saying, you really have to answer some difficult questions. You exhorted people to march on the Capitol. You've said, you've been found liable for sexual abuse. And instead, the Caitlin Collins, I think, was stuck in this, no-win situation, where no matter what she asked him, he was just going to speechify and do what he does, and the crowd was going to clap. So to me, this was just a poorly designed event from beginning to end.
Let's give a listen to Caitlin Collins here asking Trump about the classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago home in Florida.
When it comes to your documents, did you ever show those classified documents to anyone?
Not really. I would have the right to. By the way, they were declassified.
What do you mean, not really?
Not that I can think of. Let me just tell you, I have the absolute right to do whatever I want with them. I have the right. I was negotiating with NARA. Do you know what NARA is?
The National Archives.
Extremely,
but you don't
extremely left group of
them.
People. Extremely left. And I was negotiating with
They're
them. All
left.
Of a sudden,
They're
they
bipartisan.
Raided my house. They didn't raid the house of Joe Biden. They didn't raid Obama.
But Joe Biden didn't ignore a subpoena to get those documents back like
Joe
you
Biden
did. And
took
so that's
1,850 boxes.
But that's the question that investigators have, I think, is why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them.
Are you
them.
Ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's
you
the
mind?
Answer?
Can I, do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to
That's
answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
So you don't see a lot of benefit to the democratic process there, Tom.
No, and that didn't come until the very end. I mean, this was finally, her losing patience with him and him losing patience with her. You notice that by the end of that, we've left behind the did you show these to anybody? Not really. Did you or didn't you? Did you actually share classified material with other people? It's a yes or no question, Mr. Trump. But the problem is that you can't fact check him in real time. The truth means nothing to him. And in that sense, like I said, it was just Caitlin Collins was in a no-win scenario, especially when the crowd, he's just drawing energy off the crowd. The crowd was there to support him. I had asked CNN about this when I wrote my story on it for The Atlantic, and they said, well, it was Republican primary. These are Republican voters, and we reached out to many organizations And yet, you know, you've still had people in there who are going to clap and cheer. So I don't know what else they could have. When I say I don't know what they expected to happen, I'm actually worried that this is exactly what they expected to happen, and that because this was completely foreseeable as an outcome.
Talking to Tom Nichols from The Atlantic, looking at media coverage of the presidential election and of former President Trump running for a new nomination after a CNN town hall. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own thoughts, maybe your own reactions if you watch that town hall. The number is 800-642-1234. Kay is with us now in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I did watch the debate. I guess it was a debate. I thought that Caitlin Collins did a really good job of trying to fact check him, but it was impossible. And I had heard somewhere that they picked a certain amount of people for the audience that were Trump supporters, not just that were Republicans. So that might also account for the fact the laughter sometimes and the clapping at some of his comments.
Okay, thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts, having seen that. Tom, it seems like there's some gray area in what CNN actually was looking for in establishing who is going to be in the audience. What do we know?
I just couldn't get an answer from that, and I tried twice. I mean, the CNN, their spokesperson went on Twitter and basically said, you know, here's how we did it. And again, the answer was kind of this general, well, we reached out to a lot of organizations, including the New Hampshire GOP. So, you know, but in the end, if the audience wasn't instructed to please be quiet, you know, while people were asking questions or while Collins was talking, it just wasn't going to happen. I think having a town hall format, for one thing, you know, this early, is just a mistake. There's nothing about Donald Trump that people don't know already. And Trump does not look at these as opportunities to explain his positions on anything. He looks at them as opportunities to make great TV. And apparently, I mean, it looks like that's what CNN wanted to do, was to make news and make great TV. But I don't think the public interest was served by pushing Caitlin Collins out there to try to fact check a guy who just doesn't bother with truth or reality.
Thanks for that call, Kay, at 800-642-1234. Tom, you know, when we do Wisconsin election coverage here, we'll look at a race. We'll establish a threshold, determine which candidates meet that. It might be ballot status or polling or whatever, varies from year to year. Would you feel better about this if CNN had said, okay, we'll invite Nikki Haley or certain other declared candidates who meet some kind of standard, so it's not just having one particular candidate on?
Well, my beef isn't with having any one candidate. It's the format that, you know, basically legitimizes and normalizes Trump's behavior. And I think that the only reason they went that road, I shouldn't say the only reason, I think an important reason they probably went that road is because Donald Trump was not going to agree to any other format. If they had said, look, we're going to sit you down one-on-one with a, you know, venerable older journalist who's an experienced interviewing hand, Trump probably would have said, well, I'm not doing it. You know, he's already said, I don't want to debate. You know, he wants to do rallies and he wants to do TV, and CNN said, okay. And they basically let him control the environment in a way I think you would not have seen, you know, some other candidate be able to do and demand. So it's not that they shouldn't talk to Trump or that they should or should not talk to Nikki Haley or Asa Hutchinson or anybody else. It's that the design of this event foreordained that it was going to become, you know, a circus, which is exactly what happened.
I think that it seems like there's a media instinct to say, okay, this is a legitimate candidate. We'll talk to him in this case like we would any other a candidate, going back to 2015, now through 2023. Can you make the case to media people that he's unique enough that we, I guess, in the media need to be careful how we approach that?
He's the first president to defeat the peaceful transfer of power in American history. We transferred power from one party to another, but it was not peaceful. And he stood there and, in my view, incited it. So no, he's not a typical candidate. You know, he is, he basically instigated an attack and encouraged people, and now threatens to pardon those same people who are in jail for that attack, an attack on the government and the Constitution of the United States. So no, you can't just cover him as if to say, well, you know, here's this guy who advocated violent sedition and has been held liable for sexual abuse. So now we're going to ask him what his debt policies are. That to me seems, you know, a dereliction of duty almost, to say, well, we asked him and he wouldn't answer us. So now we're going to move on to what he would do with, you know, Ukraine and immigration and the deficit. Donald Trump doesn't care about policies. Donald Trump is trying to seize control of the government again for his own purposes. And I think to cover him any other way, I understand. I mean, this is a really tricky thing for journalists who, you know, can't become advocates of candidates. But to treat Donald Trump as if the past 5 years just didn't happen, I think is really dangerous for a democracy.
We're talking to writer Tom Nichols from The Atlantic about Donald Trump's town hall event on CNN last week and the way the media covers the former president now running for the White House again. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think the media's responsibility should be when it comes to covering the former president and his new campaign? What do you want for your media coverage of that campaign? Do you think there should be more scrutiny, more fact-checking? And what do you think of that CNN town hall, the format? What would you like to see instead? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Tom Nichols, staff writer for The Atlantic, where he wrote a recent column on CNN's town hall event with former President Donald Trump, current presidential candidate, with us today to talk about how the media should cover Trump amid a criminal indictment, a civil sexual abuse verdict, and another run for president. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think the media should cover Trump? What does fair coverage look like to you for a candidate like Trump? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. And did you see the CNN town hall style event with the former president? What did you think about that? What could have worked better? Call in at 800-642-1234. Tom, one of the arguments from CNN about having Trump supporters in the crowd was, hey, these are real people, real voters. They should be represented on the media, including at an event with the former president.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty unconvincing from the head of CNN, who said, well, you know, these people have been ignored. That's just a laughable argument, considering how many times, as I said in the piece, how many times journalists have, you know, headed out to every diner and gas station in America to find some angry guy in a red hat and beg him, please tell us what you're mad about. Please, you know, explain why you're voting this way. I mean, this is actually one of the most studied parts of the electorate over the past 5 years. The minute Trump won, there were endless stories and academic studies as well of, you know, who are these voters and what do they want? And for CNN to say, well, you know, we really had to reach out to these folks because nobody pays attention to them, struck me as just laughable. And you'll notice that not something that's done with any other candidate. Nobody crisscrossed the country saying, we have to find these, you know, we have to find these Biden voters and find out why they're voting for Joe Biden, you know, what they want. This was something very specifically done with the Make America Great voters. And I thought that was just, at best, kind of risible, and at worst, kind of disingenuous about why they were stocking the audience, if they actually stocked the audience. But the idea that they were reaching out and saying, well, we have to talk to people who have been ignored. All we've been doing for 5 years is talking to people who voted for Trump and why they did it.
And if that Trump voter were out there listening right now, they might hear this conversation as a call for bias against their candidate. They might sense that the media was against Trump and his supporters already, and it might sound to them like you're calling for special rules targeting their candidate. What would you say to them?
I actually think that their candidate should be interviewed, but you can't let him slide when you ask a question like, will you accept the outcome of an election? And Caitlin Collins tried, and he said, if I think it's fair. Well, you know, what does that mean? Do you, I was a federal employee before I became a writer, I was a federal employee for 25 years. You know, I've sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, which is the same oath the president swears. You know, will you support and defend the Constitution of the United States? Because on January 6th, 2021, you did not. So what, you know, what can you say to reassure people that you will not attack the Constitution of the United States again? Now, if people hearing that think that that's a call for special treatment, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I think that if a person running to become yet again to become the commander in chief and the chief magistrate of the United States, to become the head of our Article II power in the Constitution, has to be held accountable for the anti-constitutional things that he did for 4 years, and simply gliding past it to say, well, you know, bygones, let's talk about the deficit, I think is just irresponsible. And I think it's irresponsible, an irresponsible way to interview him. But I also think it's irresponsible if people say, you know, move on, move along, in a way that I think those voters, Rob, I'll just add, I think a lot of those voters would not be that willing to move along if a Democratic candidate were found liable for sexual abuse, or had said that he, you know, he might not accept the outcome of an election, and had been involved in some pretty dodgy stuff regarding things like the military and other institutions of the U.S. government. So, if anything, I think what I'm calling for is fairer treatment, and to stop treating Donald Trump like a child who will have a tantrum if you ask him hard questions.
Go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Joni is with us in Appleton. Joni, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Joni?
Well, I've been listening. I've only been in, I'm parked. I'm not driving, but I was driving along. I'm listening to this. And the thing that has always been extremely upsetting to me is how much free coverage Trump has always gotten from the media. They chase after him like he's gold or something. And I know that it's all revenue to be on the air, to have something that people are interested in. But just as your previous caller was saying, he's gotten away with so many things with the charges against him. And now he's been found liable for sexual abuse. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. He got so much free coverage when he was running against Hillary, because the media chased after him. So, and I really do think it was a disservice for CNN to cover him the way they did. It was just a free-for-all for him. I don't think that he should be covered unless he's going to be legitimately challenged with another debate or something similar, because he's just always got free reign. And it's so much disinformation. And the people that listen to it at the time don't go back and fact check. And then so many people, unfortunately, aren't interested in the real facts.
I gotcha. Joni, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Joni, pointing Tom toward, I think going back to the early, even the Republican primary, where CNN, among others, gave a lot of free airtime to candidate Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he knew, I mean, the one thing Trump is really good at, I mean, I think he's one of the least intelligent people ever to hold the presidency, but he's very clever about marketing. And he knew how to get himself on television. And, you know, the problem is that once you've captured the camera, and I think your caller, I think Joni was absolutely right, you know, once he starts saying crazy things and false things, they're out there. They're, you know, it's hard, you know, the saying, right? A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on. And he knew that. And so there has really been no penalty for him to do that. I think if it makes folks feel any better about this, I think one of the reasons he lost in 2020 was that people got a really good look at him in those crazy press conferences that he was running every afternoon during COVID. Where, you know, he finally started talking about, you know, injecting bleach and, you know, sticking, you know, UV light in your body and all of that. But I think that your caller is absolutely right. Doing it the way CNN did it was really the worst of all possible worlds. because it made him look like an ordinary candidate with some unusual opinions. He is not an ordinary candidate. He is someone who has been involved with and is offering to pardon people who committed sedition.
Joni, thanks a lot for that call. Tom, in our last minute or so, I want to talk about disinformation in the 2020 election. People still repeating claims about fraud that we knew were fake in November of 2020. How do you want to see the media tackle that, given that it's all been disproven, it's all been corrected, and it still keeps going out there from Trump and others?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do about that. I mean, I was kind of hoping that Caitlin Collins was not going to move off of that issue, that, the 2020 election was not falsified. And until Donald Trump is simply going to accept that, there's no point in moving on with the conversation. I think part of the problem here is that one of the reasons it's so difficult to break through the fact-checking wall is that a lot of people who support Trump don't care about the facts. They believe what they believe. And if they, they'll go to Facebook or they'll go to YouTube or they'll go to some other outlet. And we've seen this now with Fox, right? I mean, Fox has had to back up from the accusations it made. And a lot of Fox viewers said, fine, if you're not going to feed me what I want, then I'm going to go find it somewhere else. So Trump knows that. And I think journalists have to go in when talking to him, knowing that as well.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tom Nichols is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where he's lead writer for their flagship newsletter called The Daily. He was with us today to talk about how the media should cover Donald Trump, misinformation, and potential threats to democracy.